You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Secret knowledge is the most precious commodity on Earth. In this case, maybe below Earth. Again, secret knowledge is the most precious commodity on Earth. It is the currency of the occult and the Luciferian elite. Steve Quayle from the documentary True Legends, The Unholy Sea. And indeed, all roads do lead to Rome. We are talking with two incredible people, Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, Timothy Alberino, who is the director, writer for Gen 6 Productions and the film True Legends, Unholy Sea. And before we get back to Mr. Quayle and Alberino, I want to mention that, you know, when I'm doing research like this, or when I'm reading, for example, True Legends, the book, or looking at different, doing whatever I'm doing, I need mental focus. I need mental clarity. And I found that music, one of life's greatest pleasures, also is one of life's greatest tools. It's got tremendous power, the power to bring, you know, a tear to one's eye or to quiet a racing mind. Music has also has the power to heal. It's been used through the ages to treat depression, to create energy, to help one sleep. Now, I'm not talking about anything new age here. I'm talking about music. And we've talked about frequencies and what have you. This is what we're referring to. And now, musician and author Michael Terrell has created Whole Tones, which in the Healing Frequency Music Projects, these frequencies were studied in the music of King David and believed to have astounding healing effects. In fact, some of these are played at various hospitals, and I know they're being played at daycare centers, actually, and the benefits are astounding. Now, you can benefit from this revitalized ancient healing music therapy simply by listening to this music in the comfort of your own home, car, or office. You know, it's really the dog days of summer right now. You know, reward yourself, cool yourself off with the gift of healing and transformation. Don't miss this opportunity to get absolutely free sample of this music so that you can begin benefiting right away. Support this show, folks, and go to wholetoneslive.com. That's wholetoneslive.com. That's W-H-O-L-E, toneslive.com. Get a free sample of these soothing, relaxing, revitalizing musical tones and compositions. It's fantastic. Go to the URL, wholetoneslive.com today for your free sample. Download and order your complete set. You won't be sorry. And again, we're talking with Mr. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com and Mr. Timothy Alberino. Folks, the subject matter tonight, True Legends, Unholy Sea. I watched this video. Two ways to watch it. You can order the Blu-ray disc DVD. Go to stevequayle.com, click on the True Legends there. It'll take you to the ordering process for the actual DVD. That's my personal choice, by the way. my favorite way of watching it, because I've got it in hand. But the quicker way, if you want to watch it tonight, and I urge everyone to do so, it's available on Vimeo. It's unlimited online streaming. To explain that, I'm going to first turn this over to Tim Alberino. Mr. Alberino, can you explain how people tonight, as soon as they get done with this program, they can watch what we're talking about?
Well, we do have three formats for the film, as you mentioned. We have the hard copy, DVD, and Blu-ray. And I would encourage people who like to watch Blu-rays, buy the Blu-ray for this video, because we upgraded our cameras. We put a lot of effort into making this thing look great. And the best version of our film is the Blu-ray version. And that is available on Steve's website. By the way, you can go to TrueLegendsTheSeries.com. And you'll see all three formats for our film. And you can quickly access any format, any of the three formats for our film from TrueLegendsTheSeries.com and also from Steve Quayle's webpage. After you watch our Vimeo trailer, you'll have the option to purchase the unlimited online streaming. Now, for those who don't know, unlimited online streaming isn't a one-time rental. You purchase the streaming format of our film, and as long as our film is on Vimeo, you can watch it as many times as you want on various devices. You can watch it on your laptop, or on your tablet, or on your phone, or on your computer, or for those of you who have Apple TV or Roku, you can watch it on your TV. So this is a really unique offer that we have this time. Unlimited online streaming, $14.99 on Vimeo. And again, it's not a one-time rental. It's as many times as you want to watch a film. So you can watch the film, buy the film on Vimeo tonight, watch it yourself, and then tomorrow invite friends over and watch it again, and repeat that as many times as you want purchasing it one time on Vimeo. It's not a digital download. It's not a rental. It is online, unlimited online streaming.
Yeah, and it's you will want to watch it more than one time. I guarantee you, it's that good, that information packed. Now, Steve, if I can ask you this, as I was watching the video, I saw Tom Horn in there. I saw Chris Putnam. I listened to them. All of the interviews you had done, and or Mr. Alberino had done, and all of your comments. You know, I was thinking about this with all of the overlap of. Well, with what I was watching, I couldn't help but believe that there is a divine hand here, because so many dots are being connected through Tim Alberino's work and your work and Tom Horn's work. Are we seeing right now the fulfillment of Scripture that all will be revealed in the end times? Is that what we're seeing here?
Well, absolutely, Doug, and I think it's critical to understand that talking about a symphony, the Lord God of heaven is the quintessential conductor, and he puts his musicians, if you will, his people, into places where they never thought they'd go. And I'll tell something interesting about Tim, and someday you got to get him to share his testimony. I know he's going to do a book, but Tim's testimony of his supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ at 19 years old is mind-blowing, okay? And I won't say anything more than that, but he set out to have an encounter with the living God, and before he had his living encounter with the living God, the devil literally tried to destroy him, came to him as a voice that sounded so good. But that's Tim's story to tell. Tom's story to tell is he was dead for 17 minutes, and God showed him things that would happen. But then Tom said, "Let me remember." And God said, "You will not remember." But as he's coming into the times we're now hidden from us, and my encounter with the Lord was supernatural. And look, my calling is in God, but God brought Tim across my path, because one of my concerns, I told Tom Horn this too, you know, we're not spring chickens, and by the grace of God, we're not dead ducks. But the point is that, you know, the Scripture says we've got to commit that which we've learned into faithful hands. So what I think has been extraordinary is the thing that we're so concerned with, both Tim and I, is the deception that's going to come. It is absolutely upon us. Now, forgive me, I want to restate what I said. The deception that is now upon us, it's no longer future tense. Let me make this clear. The reason why this, in my opinion, I'm sure Tim shares it and you've already stated it, is the most important DVD we've done up until this point is because it's bringing into context with visuals and interviews the plan to deceive the whole human race. And Jesus said if the days weren't shortened, even the elect would be deceived. Now, here's the deal. You brought up, Doug, that we go into the alien connection. And I'll let Tim address one of our interviews, or the interviewees in Rome. But Tom Horn makes a statement on this DVD that I've asked him to speak to on the radio, that when they went, both Chris Putnam and Tom Horn, went to Mount Graham to the Lucifer Telescope, the large binocular telescope, but that's not the Lucifer. The Lucifer is a device that looks in the infrared spectrum. And again, the reason this is critical is, and it's an acronym, you know, basically, but the point is, of anything they could have stated or anything they could have called it, they chose the acronym Lucifer. The reason why giants, fallen angels, hybrids, you know, I can remember when I first talked on Coast to Coast about hybridization, human race, genetic alteration, genetic manipulation, the end of mankind, cyborgs, transhumanism, singularity. Bill Joy, I quoted his masterpiece essay, Why the Future Doesn't Need Us Anymore, Bill Joy. And you put all that stuff into different books. And by the way, my first book, you know, if people are having a hard time grasping this, the very first book I put out on this whole subject matter was called Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race. Look where we're at now. We are with, we are in the most expressed, I would call it this, profane and public expression of everything that's been carnal, the black arts, the sexual arts. And make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, in the compromising of the globalist leaders, they always do everything backwards. Instead of the natural relations with a woman, they basically, how do I say this, sexually compromise each other, I'm talking males, in order to basically even tear down that boundary of a man and a woman. That's as tactful as I know how to be. The thing is that we are at a point in history now where why this matters, because as the Genesis truth of Genesis 6, you know, verses 4, the book of Jude, the angels that kept not their first estate, we're not talking about angels in heaven having sex. I want to make that clear. I'm going to say that three times. We're not talking about angels in heaven having sex. We're talking about angels that left heaven in the rebellion with Lucifer, one-third of the angels. I don't know how many that is, but the point is it was enough. The first 200 angels that had sex with earth women on Mount Hermon, God bound in everlasting chains of darkness. But after the flood of Noah, then there was a second incursion of fallen angels. And now, after all of these years and people playing with stargates and CERN and parallel universes and tearing apart the very fabric of creation, the gates of hell have opened. Doug, I guarantee you, until Tom Horn brought that revelation out probably, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago about the gates of hell, most of Christianity, I'd say 99.99% of Christians, never understood what the gates of hell prevailing would even have any meaning to, okay? Yet a gate keeps something out or allows something through. When Tim was talking about the Shinkana, and where it came out at Sacsayhuaman, the thing is that that's also where the Temple of the Sun and in the vicinity, and also where a known stargate is. And if you guys want to read something about even the stargates in the United States, and again, Tim made a powerful statement. Every time I've interviewed intelligence agencies or multi-star generals from black ops that you don't even know their field exists, they always talk about it's not what's above the ground, but underneath the ground. A good introduction of this, and most people don't know this, Turkey, every single church that's pretty much mentioned in the book of Revelation is located in Turkey. And if people want to go look this up, Nemrut, N-E-M-R-U-T, some people pronounce it Nemrut, Dagh, D-A-G-H. Nemrut Dagh is where the seven kings or the seven giant sages ruled the world from. There are 200 underground cities. It's the same thing, the normal-sized people, the descendants of Adam and Eve, had to flee into those underground cities in order to avoid being eaten. It's not just because they were fleeing the Muslims. That was, you know, we're talking 1,000, 2,000 years before the Muslims came even into prominence, you know. There's a place called Derinkuyu, Turkey, okay? And that's the largest, and I would say this, city in the, what's called the Nevşehir, and I may be pronouncing that wrong, province, but it's obvious that by the size of this stuff, it's totally different than the size of the tunnels that Tim's talking about. By the way, most people don't know this, but Kansas, they still don't know that who built the underground city in Kansas in the Fort Leavenworth area, and they say it's under, you know, that it was under the slaves, etc. All the people in history that would identify these structures would use them to their benefit. Let me give you another example. The Chiricahua Apaches in Arizona and some of the other tribes of the Apache in Arizona would make use of the labyrinth of tunnels to evade the U.S. cavalry. So what was fascinating to me is when I started studying every military base, and when I say every, forgive me, I didn't do all 200, but of the, let's say, 80 to 100 I would study, they would all be on one of two things: a ley line where there is extreme magnetic interaction, or they would be on legendary tunnels. Now, the reason the narrative, I'm going to give it right back to Tim, the reason why this is so critical is simply this. They, at some point, the Vatican, and remember, Doug, when God is dead and the whole idea of atheism and if you will, scientificism, or scientificism, I think is a better way to say it, and everything, they wanted to prove that God didn't exist. Now, look at the transition in the movie, and I'd recommend people go on this, pray about it first, but in the movie Childhood's End, I think it's on Netflix, again, by Arthur C. Clarke, the very way the aliens are depicted is the same way that Tom Horn's interview with the Vatican astronomers, these are multiple PhDs, these are some of the smartest men in the world, claiming that their God is coming back, and he looks like something out of a gargoyle movie. As a matter of fact, I just got an email, Tim, you've been gone, so I haven't even had a chance to share this with you, but the gargoyle, and I want to be kind of vague here, Tim, so I don't give this away, but I want you to validate it. Did you not see an illustration of a gargoyle-like creature that was provided to me by a very high-ranking military officer? It was in sketch form.
I did.
You did indeed. And the deal is, Doug, it's beyond most people's comprehension. It's kind of like the old movie, I think Dennis Quaid was in it, called Enemy Mine, where Enemy, M-I-N-E, Mine, I think he gets put on Mars. It's kind of like Robinson Crusoe on Mars, or crashes there, and then there's this ugly alien, and the alien says, "You are very ugly." Well, here's the thing. It's going to take a transformation in thinking and mind control to embrace the aliens. I'm going on record. I think I've said this on your show. Correct me if I'm wrong. But the whole purpose in gun control isn't just because they're worried about crime. They're worried about when their buddies, the aliens, show up, some of us are going to go wild and say, time to drop an alien. I'm not kidding when I say that. So, knowing that the tunnels exist, knowing that the Inca, the Maya, the Aztec, working from, obviously, Peru up the coast, they all came into structures that they claim were built by giants. Now, those people that poo-poo this and every bone that's ever been found, whether it's in Malta, Sardinia, they all end up in Rome. And, Tim, go ahead and take it from there, because here's what we've got to take you to tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're following the root of evil so you can see the fruit of evil and start to pray about this stuff, because Jesus said men's hearts are going to fail them for fear, for looking after those things or watching those things coming up on the earth. And my goal in life, and I believe it's my calling, and by the grace of God, to the degree I've been obedient, I've tried to be faithful. That's God's determination, not mine. But the point is that there's a reason for all this stuff. This isn't, if you will, War of the Worlds, and I'm not Orson Welles, and Tim is not Tim Welles, okay? This isn't Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman just trying to talk about spooky stuff on the radio. When you talk, even today, Tim, just to put this into context, Doug, I don't know if you saw it, but NASA killed another feed of an alien craft around the space. You saw that, right?
Yep.
Space, what do you call that deal? I'm tongue-tied.
International Space Station.
Thank you so much. So how is it that Timothy Alberino is in Peru, then basically Bolivia, then basically we go to Rome, but before that Sardinia. Sardinia basically has an island called the Island of the Giants. So does Malta. They're dealing with Cyclops, who were the biggest giants in antiquity. Then you've got the stories that are coming out of Cyclopean skulls being found throughout the desert southwest. The horned cyclops coming from Indonesia. If Doug, you as an investigator, if you had 1,000 pieces of evidence and someone said, I don't believe it, it would be to the judge and jury to decide, number one, there's enough evidence, isn't there probable cause? So when you control the narrative, here's the narrative. God of heaven, who sent Jesus Christ, the King of glory, the creator under God's command in Colossians 1:16-17, scripture says, through him Jesus, by him Jesus, do all things consist that exist, okay? And when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am, well, that just basically upset the religious people of his day. You know, so the religious people who have the hardest time with this, ask them a simple question. What happens if these guys are right? And why has this historic cover-up been so controlled until now, when the entire shift, it's a quantum shift, okay? It's a quantum shift away from the inerrancy of the Word of God. And now you've got people, the Mandela effect, everyone saying, well, God didn't mean what he meant, or they're changing. Let me share this. The issues of translation are paramount, and that's why you can look at the different translations. Sure, in Isaiah at the beginning it says the lion will lay down with the wolf, but later on it talks about the lion laying down with the lamb. I'm only saying that because Jesus said in the opening scripture, you do err, not knowing the power of God. The kingdom of God is yet to be preached in the world. It was during the Acts of the Apostles. It has been through revival, but it's yet to be seen in the great harvest, because you cannot separate the supernatural power of God from the kingdom of God. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, that means the kingdom of God has come to you this day. So if I cast out demons by the finger of God, that means the kingdom of God has come to you this day. So when Paul said, I don't preach with the enticing words of man's wisdom. So now Tim is laying this out. And Tim, if you would, jump to the people interviewed. And I don't think most people maybe who are Christians understand that concurrent with the creation narrative of those of us who believe in the inerrancy of the Word of God and who have studied the Genesis account, get the other track that's running that will sidetrack everybody and get them to believe through television commercials and get them to believe through mind control, RF, whatever, that basically God is a fantasy and the aliens are reality. Go ahead and take it and share how you, were led to that, even literally to the Rome and literally to the Jesuit headquarters in Rome, wee hours of the morning, and how amazing that was. Go ahead and just take your time, okay?
Okay. Well, let me pick up on something that you were saying that really got the wheels in my brain turning, which is, again, the idea that these ancient underground complexes and tunnels have existed since prehistoric times and possibly since pre-Adamic times. And it's interesting that many of the UFOs that people see, especially military personnel, Navy personnel, see, go under the water and descend into underground bases or undersea bases. Even the Apache, you mentioned the Apache utilizing this underground network that they didn't build, but they certainly utilized, just like the Inca, were encountering strange things under the ground. And even the military that was chasing them into these caves were encountering strange things under the ground, including saucers and gray alien beings. And so there's we have to understand that the alien question is intrinsically linked to the prehistoric past, to the pre-flood world, and to some degree to the pre-Adamic world. So when I'm thinking about, you know, the ancients, such as the Inca, going down into these tunnel systems, discovering them as they did in Cusco, along with the megalithic constructions on the surface, going down into these tunnel systems, it's very likely that they were encountering entities down there that had influence on their cultures. And that would make a lot of sense when you take a look at how bloodthirsty and frankly demonic many of these ancient cultures were. And so there's a direct link there. And obviously, for those of you who've done any research into ufology, you know, or at least you're aware of the idea that the military has actually been working in conjunction in some of the underground bases with non-human entities, and that some of the bases are known to be fully operated by non-human entities, and that certain elements within the U.S. government, the black elements within the government, are well aware of this fact. And again, mentioning Phil Schneider, some of you are familiar with the Dulce Wars and what happened to Phil Schneider beneath the earth. So this is this isn't just some sidetrack thing that that me and Steve are stuck on here. This is essential. I mean, this is essential for unpacking the lie that's coming in the future. And Steve, you just mentioned it with the gentleman that I met in Rome. His name is Gian Mario Ferramonti, very famous guy, very famous entrepreneur. And we also met with a man named Leo Zagami, who is a very controversial character. We knew that going into the meeting with him. But we felt like it was being orchestrated, because it was being divinely orchestrated, because we had not planned to do that. And Leo didn't know who we were, neither did Gian Mario. In fact, I didn't even know that Gian Mario was going to be present in the meeting that we had with Leo, which ironically is right in front of the American Embassy in Rome. And so we had this very interesting talk with these two gentlemen. Leo is a whatever you think of Leo Zagami, of course he's dabbled in the occult, and he comes from an Illuminist background. We're well aware of that fact. We're not claiming that everybody in our films or everybody we talk to are believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're out for the information. We're trying to prepare people to gather the information, to find the people who know things, and then to explain what's happening and to help prepare people for what's coming. So we go where our sources lead and where we can find the information. Leo Zagami has made many predictions concerning the Holy See that have turned out to be accurate. In fact, he was one of the guys, along with Tom Horn, he doesn't know Tom, Tom doesn't know him, that predicted that Pope Benedict was going to step down when he did. So he's very knowledgeable about affairs of the Vatican. In fact, it was because of Leo that we were able to walk into the headquarters of the Jesuits and film. And that's a long story, I won't go into that. But what happened was, I was planning on talking with Leo concerning mainly focusing on the alleged artifacts and documents that are buried beneath the Vatican, not buried, but are concealed in the underground vaults beneath the Vatican. And instantly, our conversation, along with Gian Mario Ferramonti, our conversation instantly went to the aliens and the preparation that the Vatican is making for the arrival of alien saviors. And again, neither of these gentlemen they didn't know me, they don't know Steve Quayle, and they didn't know Tom Horn. And here they are talking to me about the Vatican preparing for alien saviors and also mentioning Mount Graham. So obviously, we were on the right track without even really knowing where we were headed with this film, that it was actually going to end up centering around the Vatican's preparation for the arrival of alien saviors. And let me explain something concerning the Vatican. The Vatican is a multifaceted institution. There are many different organizations within what we call the Vatican or the Holy See or the Church of Rome. Many, multitudes of organizations, and they're all vying for power in Rome. And some of those groups are actually splinter groups. At this point in time, the Jesuits, which have taken control very visibly because Pope Francis is himself a Jesuit, the Jesuits were actually a splintering away from Rome, from the power of the Pope, and have been for many years, since the 50s and 60s. And so there's something very interesting happening right now at the Vatican on a geopolitical level, and that is that the traditional manifestation of the Church of Rome is, at this present moment, being dissolved. And it's being dissolved. I think the word is immolated. It's being burnt. It's being destroyed so that something new can arise from its ashes. And the Jesuits are the leading force behind that process, and have been for many years. And so there is the Vatican and the Church of Rome, as you have known it, is no longer going to exist. And it is in the process of transformation. Again, like the phoenix, it's being destroyed. It's burning down to ashes. And in fact, Tom Horn predicts quite literally, he just made this astounding prediction in his new book, him and Chris Putnam, that the Vatican is in fact going to be destroyed. So it's amazing how what Steve and I are doing is running in correlation with what Tom and Chris are doing without even communicating with each other. And it's like they put a piece of the puzzle in place, and then here we come with another piece of the puzzle that we didn't even think we were going to be doing, but here we are. And so we have this situation now where the Church of Rome, again, the traditional Roman Catholic Church, is being it's being taken apart brick by brick, metaphorically speaking, in order to construct a new universal religion. And the Jesuits are leading. They're at the helm in the deconstruction of traditional Roman Catholicism. Now, why is that important, and what does it have to do with aliens? Well, it's important because they are literally beginning to prepare the world. First, they have to prepare the world in terms of in ecumenical terms. And when I say in ecumenical terms, I mean they have to bring the different religions together. There's obviously an interfaith movement that really, really got going powerfully under John Paul II. But as it is, it's really at high speed now under Francis, Pope Francis, who is working feverishly to bring together the religions of the world. But even more importantly for us, he's working behind the scenes to also, as a component of that, bring together the Christian factions of the world, especially the Protestants, bring them back into the fold, so to speak, to prepare the earth for the new religion that's coming. And this new religion isn't just going to be cherry-picking the best of each religion that already exists. It's going to be based on a new understanding of humanity, based on disclosure, based on the revelation that we're not alone, that extraterrestrials, so-called extraterrestrials, have been interacting with us for thousands of years, that the Vatican has known about it for hundreds of years, and in fact has already been in contact with these entities. And their disclosure is going to set off I think a lot of other smaller disclosures that are going to come forth from different countries that have been, that of course have their dossiers on the alien question, including the United States. And we know that Russia has already threatened to release some information concerning the alien question to force the hand of the U.S. government to follow suit. So we're very, very close to this, but Steve and I believe, and I think also Tom and Chris believe, that the major announcement is going to come from Rome, is going to come from the seat of the Vicar of Christ, from the mouth of the Pope, in other words. So we have to understand that right now, and this very summer, there's an ecumenical movement within the Protestant churches that they're trying to, again, amalgamate all of the churches together under the banner of the Church of Rome. And, of course, you're not going to hear it like me and Steve are saying it, but that's the bottom line. That's what they're doing. And it's a very, very delusive and dangerous thing to get in bed with Rome, especially with this Jesuit Pope. This is not just some happenstance thing. This is the culmination of hundreds of years of the occult working from behind the scenes and the mystery schools working towards what Steve just mentioned a little while ago in the last hour, the resurrection of the Golden Age, another Tower of Babel moment on the earth. So again, we're not just dealing with different faiths coming together and reconciling their differences. We are talking about new revelations concerning aliens. And I believe, and I know Steve believes, that it's they're going to very cunningly change the gospel in a way that is going to deceive many Christians. And I believe that they're going to claim that Jesus was, in no uncertain terms, an extraterrestrial. And it's, people would, of course, would laugh and say, oh, who would believe that? And that's never going to happen. Yes, it is. Because what you're discounting, for our critics out there, you're discounting the power and the momentum and the game changer of disclosure. It is going to be a game changer unlike anything else. In other words, when the Pope of Rome, we believe it's going to be the Pope, announces that we're not alone and we haven't been alone, aliens exist, and they've known about it for centuries, and they're intimately involved. They've been intimately involved with humanity and blah, blah, blah. They're going to also produce, as I said earlier, documents and artifacts, ancient artifacts, to support that claim. And it's going to be very reminiscent of the of Zechariah Sitchin's work with the Anunnaki and the ancient Sumerian cylinder seals. And what we're going to get is we're going to get a narrative that has been carefully crafted again for hundreds of years. And I believe we're living in the time when it's going to be unleashed on the earth. And I know that, and the reason why I believe that is we believe that is because we're watching the pieces fall into place. And in order for that to happen, there has to be a breakdown of the traditional Catholicism and also of the other religions, by the way, in order to make room for this new understanding of what it is to be a person of faith, and of course adding into the equation this very important component, the alien component. Now, I always say this, and it's something I always say because it is so important for people to grasp. Deception is not merely an untruth. It is not merely a lie. It is a delusive power. It is a mind controlling force. It's not just an untruth. So don't think that, oh, they're going to tell us, you know, this bogus untruth. It's not just an untruth. It is a power. It is a force that is going to be released on the earth. And when the time comes, and as Steve mentioned, CERN and everything else that they're doing, they are preparing the masses for this deception and have been for a long time. And so we're blowing the trumpet. And again, we believe that the hub, the center of this activity, is in Rome. But get ready for the dissolving of traditional Roman Catholicism. It's already happening. Get ready at the same time, more importantly, for the dissolving of traditional Protestantism. And for those of you who don't know what Protestantism means, it began with Martin Luther, who protested against the Catholic Church, and he had, you know, his, I think it was 98 points that he nailed up to the church door, and he began a protest against Roman Catholicism. And he believed that we ought, that our authority ought to be the Bible and not the Pope of Rome and a host of other things. And so that protest launched the Protestant Reformation and broke us away in terms of believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ, broke us away from the shackles, broke us free from the shackles of the Church of Rome and from the dominance of this church, which is not a church. It's a harlot. It's a false church and has been since its inception. And we talk about that in our film too. And again, this isn't a shot at Catholics, but we're dealing with the institution, the root of this evil. And so, get again, as I said, it's the dissolving of traditional Protestantism, traditional Catholicism, so that something new can be constructed in its place. And it is that something new that we're warning people about, because it is coming, it's already happening, and the pace is even now accelerating. So while I was there talking to Leo Zagami, talking to Gianmario Ferramonti, all of this was being confirmed to me, and talking to these guys. And remember, we already have two popes. I want everybody to remember that. We already have two living popes. There are two. There is Benedict, who is retired, although you can't really retire as a pope. It doesn't exist. Retirement as a pope is something that doesn't happen. So we have two vicars of Christ alive right now. And that's a very important thing for people to understand, because this Jesuit pope is going to dissolve the papacy as we have known it. And he's making way. I think there's, and Leo Zagami told me, and I think he's right, they're going to create a council of popes. And I also believe Tom's right, and Chris Putnam, in their prediction that there very well may be some sort of event, maybe instigated by ISIS, that is going to cause the destruction, maybe the very physical destruction of the Vatican, so that something else can rise from the ashes. Remember, it is the prerogative of the ruling elite to build something new on the ashes of the destruction of the old, to bring forth a new world order, a new world religion, and a new understanding, and this is the dangerous part, a new understanding of the gospel, by tearing apart the traditional understanding of the gospel. And this is this is a deadly, dangerous thing that we're talking about, and why our film is so important, and why the work that Tom and Chris is doing is so important. And this isn't just to sell DVDs. We are blowing a trumpet, and we have a lot of people who are very unhappy with us, a lot of very powerful people who are not very happy with us for doing it. So, Doug and Steve, I'll kick it back to you guys.
Yeah, and Steve, as I watched this video, just from an investigative perspective only, and from someone not as knowledgeable as you and Tim in this subject, the big thing I took away from this is this video contains information that exposes that very deception that Tim was talking about. It exposes the people and the building blocks, quite literally the building blocks of the deception. And I just wanted to throw that in there. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I think that, Doug, that's the basis of it. Now, I want to share something. To my knowledge, no pope has ever disavowed, denigrated, spoken evil, slandered, maligned the the Lord Jesus Christ more than the contemporary one. You cannot be the vicar of that who you deny. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. I want to take everybody to Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and I'll read it and then I'll comment, because this is where we're at. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot watch the Drudge Report on a daily basis and not get the one central theme of modern man's quest to rebuild Babylon, what I'm calling tonight genetic Babylon, using the manipulation of God-created DNA in order to manipulate that DNA to do away with mankind. If there's anything that we want you to come away with is the myths and legends are not just fairy tales. By the way, even the fairy tales aren't fairy tales, but that's another story for another interview. But the point is that for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall see as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, here's the deal. There's a reason. I have an Apple computer. We edit our DVDs on Apple computer. Most of you have iPhones or iPads or iMacs or I. But look at the very symbol of Apple. What is it? It's an Apple with a bite taken out of it. You know what the price of the first Apple computer was, Doug?
$666.
Well done, sir. $666. Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I write, and please, understand that when Tim is in the middle of some strange place in the world, and all of the spirals indicating stargates, and all of the transmutagenic creatures that most people are just thinking are just, well, that's just, you know, the depiction of this, depiction of that. Well, somebody sent me an email the other day, Doug, and I said, absolutely. Are the gods of the Egyptians with their half-human, half-animal likenesses, are those real? I said, absolutely, they were. And here's the reason I can make that statement. We are not at the mercy of the skeptic. No one can tell Tim Alberino he didn't encounter the living, risen Jesus Christ in the jungles, actually in the, Ecuadorian jungle, and nor can they tell me I didn't see Jesus when I was thrown at his face and he lifted me up and I looked into his eyes and he forgave my sinner. I went into that situation just simply knowing nothing came up. Absolutely forgiven and loved where I had never known love, knew a lot of lust, went to film school to pursue that. I'll leave it at that. And God ransomed me out of that. Tom Horn absolutely dies, and his lovely wife, Nita, by the way, she's a lovely lady. I mean, she is a lovely lady. Tim and I have been in their home. Those people, I mean, they're just amazing people. End of story. They're amazing. But the point is, they live in the world of hospitality. But when you get this stuff going on, here's the key. The idea is that man is going to live forever, because most people don't even want to name the name of Jesus' church. And by the way, Tim and I and Gary Haven will be on, I think, Jim Baker's show starting this Friday, maybe into Monday, Tuesday. And we were talking about this stuff. And it was really hard to watch people. Their minds were basically, you know, if you look at gears, boy, were gears turning. Now, there are a lot of people that listen to us on radio. And by the way, Doug, a lot of people came out and said, we listened to you on Hagman and Hagman. So, I mean, your radio show, which the Lord has raised up, is very well known. But getting back to the genetic issue, I say this, that you cannot understand Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and Tom says the same thing about Genesis 6. If you miss it, you miss history. If you deny it, you miss what's going to play out before your eyes. If you understand it, you're not going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I would say this, based on, and this is no threat, based on what we're hearing is going to come this week, starting based on the civil war that's taking place in this country, I would encourage you all worldwide, okay, to download this DVD. Number one, it's half price because, you know, by the time you order it and send it, sometimes, Doug, to Australia, New Zealand, other places in Eastern Europe, the postage is way more than the DVD. So we felt compelled to make it instantly available. And, you know, why it's so critical is because, again, going back to the Drudge headlines, everything is the Methuselah gene has been found. The Methuselah gene is one they've known about for 20 years. Basically, it's the longevity. You're seeing longevity. If I told you, Doug, that there is no, quote, heaven, there is no hell, and you're going to be a god, and you're going to have infinite knowledge, you're going to be able to have infinite sex. By the way, that's who's pouring money into the AI and the robots, believe it or not, is the pornographic industry, and I won't go into detail there. But the point is that the whole idea is you're going to become a god. There's only one problem with that. You already got the first robot running over a little kid. You've got the test that was given to the one robot, and he starts saying, I hate humans, okay? So what happens in the age of spiritual machinery, and it's Tim and my agreement that the ancients possessed such a level of technology beyond anything we're able to find, and I have had multi-star generals, four stars, you know, tell me that the world of special operations is who gets the stuff first, the ancient technology, the ancient knowledge. And for the record, if you look it up, there's a group called the Aviary. They are A-V-I-A-R-Y. They are supposedly in possession of something like the DROPA disc, D-R-O-P-A disc. Basically, they are going to play, at some point, they're going to play a, if you will, doctored up. Think NASA is bad? Wait until the globalists under the Illuminati control and under Satan's direction pull out a DVD, the equivalent, you know, and absolutely have a holographic presentation of the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection, only it's different. Jesus ascends into the clouds and gets into a base ship. Now look, you may think that's as crazy as it comes, but I maintain to you that when Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, which basically based on my email, there's a lot of getting thee behind me, but the point is that he was making a statement. That literally means follow after. When the church that claims to know Jesus Christ will not mention his name because of political correctness, will not mention his name because of fence, will not speak of hell, and that everything's a heaven on earth in light of their brethren being slaughtered all over the world, I got to tell you, Doug, it does not paint a good picture. Somebody says, well, what percentage of the people do you think, Steve, that have been on earth will be saved? And I said, that's only God, known to God, okay? And he hasn't shared that with me. And I would also add, rightly so. But when Jesus said, when the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? I have a sermon. And let me just say this, you guys. I'm not a preacher. I'm a businessman. I was called of the Lord to do what I'm doing now. Tim is not a preacher. He's a preacher's kid. But he was called, and even, you know, even people that are close to him kind of look at him funny, okay? One of the best indications that people don't want to hear what you say and that God's got his hand on you, you've heard David Langford talk about it, you've heard Tom Horn, me, Tim, others, is that you get kicked out of man's kingdom before you get brought into God's. And I'm sorry, but it seems to be a rite of passage. And so now we're at Genesis 3, 1 through 6, because now you're being promised you'll live forever. This is the promise of genetic manipulation. And for the record, the reason why the ancient civilizations mummified their dead in Peru, in Egypt, in China, all over the world, is because the fallen angels taught them the process of embalming, taught them the process of preserving live DNA, and at the time that it's appropriate, and this is what the Human Genome Project is all about, the spirits, the half-human, fallen angel spirits will come back into the houses due to the reanimation of their former bodies. Now, if you don't think that's mind-blowing, and you don't think that our DVD is so critical to understand, Doug, when we come back, I want to read some of the responses from some really, I would say, deep-thinking individuals. This is not rocket science. I could sit this, the people who are 10 could watch us. I know we're out of time. We better go to the break.
Yeah, we're going to be right back with our guests, Tim Alberino, Steve Quayle, true legends in the Holy See. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.